Now, the NBA season officially begins in 30 minutes' time. Milwaukee Bucks against the Brooklyn Nets. So Patty Mills' first game there at the Nets, and his position at that team now is going to become more and more important because of Kyrie Irving's situation. More about that in a sec. But another Aussie making headlines, of course, is Ben Simmons, suspended by the Philadelphia 76ers as the standoff between the player who wants out now and the club that won't budge for now comes to a head. Let's get the latest with ESPN SportsCenter's host, Phil Murphy, who joins us. G'day, Phil. Thanks for your time.
Oh, my pleasure. I'm always keen to chat NBA, and there's no shortage of news today.
Well, we should be talking about the season opener, really, but the world is talking about Ben Simmons, and the NBA has been awash with this story. So where are we at the moment? He's now been suspended. He has surely got to be on his way out from Philly.
Yeah, I don't know what the market would be, but I don't know how he can redeem that situation. It's been a divorce long in waiting, and you're right. It is the biggest story in the NBA today, stateside. I mean, I won't be on today's SportsCenter on ESPN. I'm traveling back from Monday Night Football, but I know they had to redo the top of the show rather than talking Nets Bucks. They are talking about Ben Simmons, and what happened today is, apparently, after a couple of days of going through practices with the second team, working back to fitness, he didn't show up for preseason and offseason activities, was fined $1.4 million U.S. for those absences. They said he was in those practices, but he walked off the court immediately, didn't really interact or engage with anybody. And then today, it was essentially a refusal to practice. A couple times, Coach Doc Rivers asked Simmons to rotate into drills. He refused, and then Doc told him to go home. And you hear some of the language out of players who, when Simmons underperformed in the playoffs last season, even in Game 7, the famous passing up of an open dunk, that really it was the true beginning of the end of his time in Philadelphia. Doc Rivers and Joel Embiid tried as much as they could with verbal gymnastics to speak around the fact that it was Simmons' miscue. And they said, oh, you know, it's a collective effort. And they were really trying to, you could tell, they were struggling, but trying genuinely to not point the finger at him. Today, you hear Joel Embiid using terms like, we don't want to babysit somebody. I don't care about that man. I don't see how this can be resolved. The problem is, I don't know if this affects Ben Simmons' trade value and that another team would want him. And Daryl Morey, president of basketball operations for the Sixers, says they don't want to lower the price on Simmons. So right now it seems like everybody's at an impasse, and the Sixers seem okay with just continuing to fine Simmons for absences. Right now it is a one-game suspension, but I would be surprised if okay, game two, Ben Simmons is in a Sixers shirt.
Well, money always talks, doesn't it, Phil? And like you say, that the fines are starting to add up. Ben's on a $33 million contract this year. He's meant to be with Philly until the end of 2025 on a deal that's worth $200 million roughly in our money. So this is a classic standoff. When and how do the 76ers get to the point where they pull the trigger?
Yeah, in the NBA, the players tend to have all the power. Perfect example with Simmons. When Brett Brown, former Boomers coach, was the head coach of the Sixers, he had hired a guy called John Townsend, a famous shooting coach, to work with Ben Simmons. And in the playoffs in 2018, Simmons shot 70.6% from the free throw line. That ain't Steve Nash, but it's pretty good. And it's certainly not a player that you would foul every time up the floor. Well, heading into the offseason after 2018, all the players in their postseason debrief were given, kind of things on which to work. And they said, Ben, continue to work on your free throw shooting, maybe expand your jump shot. Okay. The Sixers had paid for John Townsend even to work with him in Australia, worked with him locally in Philadelphia. They flew him to Melbourne. And Coach Brett Brown was pulled aside by Townsend a couple days later and said that Simmons decided to go with his brother, Liam Simmons, who's a Division II coach, who's never worked with top talent, instead of this shooting coach the Sixers have hired. And the Sixers couldn't really do much. They just said, okay, well, we've seen Simmons, his shooting regress from then on. And in the NBA, again, the players just have so much of the leverage. But here, I don't know what the end game is, because if I'm any of the other 29 coaches in the NBA, that's not the type of player that I would want on my team, regardless of his otherworldly natural talent. If he's somebody who's going to crumble in the postseason, and then after all of that, a hand he dealt himself, not want to return, I wouldn't want to give up a Damian Lillard or even a Kyrie Irving, somebody who is functionally inactive for the Nets, to take this on and try and ingratiate somebody into my team that there are massive red flags about his ability to play in the league if teams play him like the Hawks did, which is foul him every time he touches the ball, especially in a postseason environment, and roll the dice that he's not going to hit half of his free throws. So I can't see him returning to Philadelphia. I think inevitably the Sixers are going to have to lower their price, and it might just be Daryl Morey trying to keep a poker face and maximize what he gets back in return for a player in whom, like you said, they invested $250 million in Australian dollars. I mean, I know that what you guys call it, like pineapples and lobsters. That's a lot of very colorful, very pretty money that I don't know how they're going to get any kind of positive net return on.
Does he stay in the NBA?
I think he must. I mean, I think they have to find a way to get him there. I mean, listen, the NBA is doing terrific things, but from a cash standpoint, Ben fleeing the league to go play in the NBL, for example, where he would instantly be the most skilled player for sure. But even then, you know, would the Sydney Kings want to take him on, or the Cam Stipans, would they want to take him on? I can't see it. You know, as much as, you know, the Southeast Melbourne Phoenix would love the PR of having a Ben Simmons in town. If you're trying to win a championship, this guy has to earn back a lot of just basketball trust. And the reports of what happened today, Adrian Wojnarowski for us said that he was told that all 30 coaches would have thrown any player out of practice if they were acting that petulant. And here's a player that is looking to get back in the good graces of not just his teammates, but a fan base, and a very brutal fan base at that. That's another factor that needs to be considered here, is that I don't know, even if he sat down and had a hat-in-hand apology to the Sixers and showed up and he was working hard at practice and say, okay, we can get past this, he'd be the least popular player on the floor, home or away, for Sixers games for some time. They are a brutally honest fan base, maybe the most hard to please in the NBA. Very, very tough. They will deify you if you bring that team a title or you bring them to contention. I mean, Allen Iverson is still a legend there for what he did back 20-odd years ago. But, yeah, I think Ben stays in the NBA. It's just going to take – I think ultimately what's going to have to happen is Daryl Morey, as much as he never relents in this regard, lowering the price to trade and just getting him off the books, taking the hit and starting over. And I think they look back on the Jimmy Butler trade of, 2018, 2019 with a measure of regret, because I think Joel Embiid and Jimmy Butler would be a far more formidable presentation of what they're going to put forward than whatever it is the Sixers are going to put on the floor this year. And it's a shame, because – if Simmons were present mentally and physically and emotionally, the Sixers would be on the short list of teams that could beat the Nets. But there seems to be a lot going on behind the scenes there that is really troubling for Philadelphia.
Yeah, there's no question. Divorce is on the table. It's just a matter of when. And you mentioned the Nets, of course, the season opener between them and the Bucks gets underway this morning. And another big issue, which is key right here, is vaccination within the NBA and within certain areas. Now, we know Kyrie Irving is still holding out. He's going to be sitting out. Where does vaccination sit as an issue for the game?
Well, Adam Silver, the league commissioner, said that if it were up to him, he would nominate that there would be a vaccine requirement league-wide. There is not. The NBA and Players Association did not require that players be vaccinated. The issue with Kyrie is that the local municipality, New York City, has a mandate for people to be vaccinated for large indoor gatherings. Now, after some pushback, Kyrie was able to practice, though unvaccinated, because they considered that large gathering at a private facility. Madison Square Garden is not a private facility. It's a very public facility, and as is the Barclays Center, where the Nets call home in Brooklyn. So if Kyrie Irving were to want to play in home games, he would not be able to. And that's where this impasse happened, where general manager Sean Marks, the Kiwi, said, you know, we can't have a part-time player. And especially we can't have a situation in which, if we fast forward to June and the Nets are in the finals, say against the Lakers, LA has the same policy as New York City. So Kyrie would not be able to play in any of those games. So he got out ahead of it. And he said, we're not going to have a part-time player. We're going to functionally suspend Kyrie until either he understands it's his choice. We respect his choice, but his choice is a consequence. And that consequence is, he can't play in home games, no matter what we say. So I think his camp understands that. Now it's just, it seems like a big game of chicken where Kyrie's hoping that as COVID numbers start to recede here, thank goodness, but we are approaching the northern winter. And last year, as people started moving their gatherings indoors, as it got colder here in the United States, that COVID numbers had an uptick. Hopefully that's not the case. I think we all are on that page. Hopefully COVID becomes a thing of the past, but I think that might be a little bit too optimistic, especially to happen in the next few months. So barring New York City relenting on their policy, it's going to take Kyrie changing his mind. And if he hasn't done it yet with the money he's left on the table, I don't know what kind of pressure would have him do that, especially as I think as we start to look around the league, and I think much like anywhere in the world, in any country, different areas have different, I guess, political leanings. And here, for whatever reason, this issue has become politicized. And certain areas of the country have far stricter requirements for vaccination than others. For example, I don't think Dallas or Orlando are ever going to have a vaccine mandate. But LA already does, San Francisco already does, New York does. And then you could point to some other cities like a Chicago that I think will have the same thing in a short order. Then it's going to come to a point where Kyrie's options of where he could potentially play home games, if he were to want to make a move and the Nets were keen to accommodate that, that list is going to become shorter and shorter. So that too is an impasse, and I couldn't tell you what the resolution is going to be. It's one of these week at a time things, and right now the Nets are proceeding without him, which they had to do in spells last year. Their big three hardly played a dozen games together of James Harden, Kevin Durant, and Kyrie Irving. So I think we're approaching a similar situation where they're moving forward with just two players. And maybe a week or two ago, Ben Simmons would have been an interesting trade piece for the Nets, but I don't know if they want to absorb that problem here unless they have some kind of assurances that that is a very Philadelphia-specific issue. So that's where we could actually start to see some overlap there, though I think today's happenings make that a little bit less likely.
But what it does do, I guess, Phil, is bring another Australian into this situation and into factor and into play here, because it makes Patty Mills' role at the Nets even more important now with Irving still in limbo.
Absolutely. I think with how Patty performed at the Olympics, if we can get, you know, Boomer's Patty in Brooklyn, they are going to miss Kyrie Irving a little bit less. I think they are going to be very happy with how Patty performs for them, Pride of Canberra. And I think he's somebody who is going to fill in admirably and complement Kevin Durant and James Harden very well. And that may actually catalyze a trade or a deal that if the Nets look around and then they say, okay, this is a championship roster minus Kyrie, even, which is astonishing to say. If we can trade him to somewhere where even that local team can comfortably say there's probably not going to be a vaccine mandate here locally, that he could play indoors, and there are assets the Nets can get in return. I mean, they have no draft capital for the near future, do the Nets. They're in win-now mode, so even if they get a mid-level player and a pick, or a couple mid-level players and a couple picks is probably what they would get in return for a player of Kyrie's caliber, Sean Marks is going to see that as a net win. So I think, and that pun completely unintended, I apologize, but Patty Mills does have the opportunity to make this far more palatable for Brooklyn. And I think if you barrack for the Nets, you're feeling a lot more confident this morning absent your star than you would if you support the Sixers absent their star in Philadelphia.
Good on you, Phil. There's no question there is some big, big stories around the NBA. Ben Simmons at the top of the tree. We'll follow that today. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, my pleasure. We'll have it all on SportsCenter leading in today's doubleheader on ESPN.